Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. Following in their own sinful desires, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that when the Lord, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up with and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your inspired words. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us generally through creation, so we may see there's a creator, but specifically through your word, so we may know who that creator is and how he is, and of his nature and of his character. And Father, of your nature and character, you've exposed to us that you're completely righteous and whole and just. And Father, in light of that, we see our inadequacies. We see our lack of righteousness. We see that we are not just all the time. Father, we thank you that in light of who we are and in light of who you are, you've created a way for men to have fellowship with you through the person of your Son, Jesus. And in Jesus, we have righteousness. And in Jesus, we are just. And in Jesus, we are whole. Thank you, Father, for the precious Son of God, who is Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved, and both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. This is Peter's second letter and his much later letter. The first letter he wrote to a persecuted church. He wrote to a church that was facing persecution day in and day out. And he called them to remain firm and stand firm and to do what? Stand on the promises. And the promises are what? The scriptures, the words of God. And here he says, I'm writing a second letter again. And in both letters, I was trying to do the same thing, which is to stir up a reminder. Something that is not new. I got to tell you that when I look at Peter, what he's in essence saying, I'm giving you something old. Not something new. And if you think about that, and you think about humanity, and you think about our hearts, and you think the kind of people we are, we usually tend to go for the new, not the old, right? Now, there's those few occasions where you're like, oh, the old is better than the new. I'm finding that out with antique shopping with my wife now. Old furniture is just better than new furniture. I'm convinced that the antique stores will not have my IKEA furniture in it when I'm dead and gone. I know this because I put the IKEA furniture together, and I doubt the shelf life of the IKEA furniture that I put together. I also know that when I'm putting it together, it's so easy to screw it in, I'm thinking to myself, this is some cardboard stuff. Anyways, while we know that often new is not better, we do know, as a whole, our society, our culture, people tend to always go for the novel or the new. Again, there's some few exceptions. One being IKEA furniture. Two, if you're old enough to remember this, new Coke. It just didn't work. They had to go back to old Coke. Showing my age there, and some people are like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
They thought the Coke formula was not good enough, so they came up with new Coke. I think it lasted like 6 months. They're like, whoa, back to old Coke. Anyways, all that to say, if you think about it, though, even in the context of church, don't you often hear, I'm going to bring you a new word? Should we be bringing a new word? Now, in some senses, you would say to me, well, maybe interesting or a different perspective or capture my attention. But at the end of the day, what Peter wants us to be reminded of, that these words are not new words. I'm going to venture a little further than maybe Peter intended. But I dare say that Peter's reminding us or telling us, don't look for a new word. We have the word. And that's in contrast to these false teachers that are coming in and either giving a new word or they're reimagining the word. The word here is, The word here is that the old word is a sure, true word, and truth doesn't need to be changed, manipulated, reinterpreted, reimagined, repackaged. And my friends, my brothers, and my sisters, it is why I'm not against church marketing here and there and this and that, but I'm here to tell you when we're trying to reimagine and repack, we have what we need. What we need is the Word of God, the Son of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We don't need to package this thing like we're a company and a corporation, act in a way that a company and a corporation, because we're not intended to be that. We're intended to be what? Not the corporation of Christ, not the marketing machine of Christ, but the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs to be rooted in what? The Word of God. Peter's saying, I'm not giving you a new word. I want you to remember. Look what he says. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said. The commandment of the Lord that he gave through the apostles. Remember what the prophet said. Remember what the Lord commanded. Remember what we've learned through the apostles. Remember those things. Don't look for a new word when the old word is sufficient. Now he goes on to tell them a reason that you need to do this. He goes, remember the prediction of the holy prophets, the commandment of the Lord, the Savior through your apostles, knowing that first of all that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? So he's telling us, remember the word, the sure word, right? You'll remember that earlier on in the book, he said, we didn't give you devised, we didn't give you words that we made up, we gave you the word of God. That we gave you eyewitness testimony as apostles to the works of Jesus. That the prophets had been proclaiming Jesus. And I hope it's still here. Because it's gone now. Never mind. I wish when I'd seen it this morning that I'd taken a picture of it. But Alistair Begg, and I'll find it for you and I'll bring it next week. Alistair Begg was talking to this idea of that the prophets, and even said here, predicted. What is it they were predicting? They were predicting Christ. And then Paul then tells us in the New Testament, or the gospel, what do we have? But we have the accounts and the works of the Christ. And then what do we have in the letters from the apostles? The promise of the return of the Christ. The whole book, the old word, has always been about Christ, Messiah. The gospel has always been the gospel. It didn't change between the Old and the New Testament. So Peter's reckoning to them, bring to mind those Old Testament predictions. Bring to mind the teachings of Jesus. And bring to mind what he said and what we've taught you by eyewitness account. Hold firm to that because there's going to be scoffers amongst you. And the scoffers, it says here, that we're going to have scoffers and they're scoffing the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. Why? They're following their own sinful desires. Again, to me, it's almost like, here's the warning. Because when a scoffer comes denying, they're saying the old isn't good enough. There's something better new, right? New and improved. I think I find it hysterical when I use the word evolve, you just know that means change. Like, I don't think that we're going to evolve to another life form, but the world is evolving. It means change. So I just want to clarify that. So I'm like, oh, we started talking, evolving at church today, that we're all one day going to be Aquaman. It's not the kind of evolution I'm speaking of right now. But isn't it funny how as the world evolves and changes, right, the further we are getting from the writing of Peter, which, by the way, last days have all, where you're, by virtue of just living, you're in last days, right? Because there will be a last day. But anyways, in virtue of that, isn't it funny how as we progress, modern man has become postmodern man, right? We tried modernity, and that didn't work so much for us. Now we're in postmodernity, and I don't know what's going to be the next movement of humanity. But isn't it funny or interesting that it's always like, oh, old religious traditions, old religious texts, they don't apply, they're not right, they're not good. What is better is our new understanding of humanity, our new philosophy. I was sharing before this time with each other, with just up here on the stage, because I'm a teacher on special assignment or something, and I'm not even that yet, but I'm still doing the work of an AP, and we had all these trainings and meetings. And so this meeting had to go over the district policy on how we deal with LGBTQ+. How do we deal with that as a school? Like, I'm in charge of a school. How do I deal with that issue on my campus? What are my policies if a kid comes out as LGBTQ+? Gosh, I'm tripping myself up. There's lots of acronyms, by the way. I thought it was just military. No, it's education, too. There's all these acronyms. But anyways, all that to say, there was a time, right, that if a child or an adult said they felt as though they weren't the gender in which their DNA is made up of, right, whatever they have, there's a time that if someone had that, we would say that was kind of a mental disorder, and we'd get them some counseling, because we'd say, not even from a religious standpoint, just from whatever, biological DNA, we'd say your DNA biology says you're this, so what's the disconnect? Now we're in new words, right? And the new word is that was wrong. We're just whatever we are. And we can have this debate discussion all day we want. But do you see Peter's argument here? His argument is that we remain pure and true to what is truth, and that truth doesn't evolve over time. That God is God, His word is His word, and His word says He's going to return. So that's true. Peter then says, it makes sense, human nature, sin nature, that men would then follow their ways and not God's ways. And ultimately, what does Peter say their motivation is? To continue in their sinful desires. So in order to keep on doing what I want to do, I now become a scoffer, and I scoff the very words, and I make new words so I can continue to do what it is that I want to do. I've been on this platform, I don't know, this thing, this thought. I get on these thoughts that stay in my head for a long time. Like, for the longest time, my thought was this, that as a church, we're called to love one, like everything should be based on love. Like, and I'm still there. I'm still, and I used to say that I'm like developing these thoughts. But my latest thought of development is it makes sense that if we are the old creature and the old creation, right? We are not the new creature and the new creation. We're not those who are in Christ. It makes sense that we would scoff so that we continue to be the way that we are. Because our old nature will just be our old nature. There's no escaping that. Peter has been proclaiming that you are being given a new nature, right? A divine nature. Chuck speaks of it a lot. The new divine nature is a nature in which I don't have laws that I have to keep. I have laws written in my heart that I desire to keep. That this is a voluntary thing that I'm doing. I'm not keeping it to receive honor, praise, glory, admiration. I'm keeping it because it's written into my DNA because I have a new nature. And my new nature is to do the will of my Father, right? Who am I being conformed to? Think about that. I'm being conformed into the image of Christ. So it makes sense that what Peter would say is this, especially the farther out you get from that event. And Peter is writing to this early group of believers as though they were in the last days. Like, to Peter, any day now, because he even says it, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Where did he get that from? Was it Matthew we saw it? Because it really bothered us that Jesus was going to be a thief. We're like, wait, hold on. Jesus can't be a thief. I'm like, he can be what he wants to be. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's not a thief. He's coming like a thief. Anyways, you can, I don't know. Like, as the world continues to evolve, they would go, you know, that Paul guy thought it was going to be during his days. Peter thought it was going to be during his days. John wrote a whole book saying it was coming, you know. We even had to look at the words because we were like, wait, no, yeah. So it makes sense. But look at the nature of what the scoffing comes from. It comes from the nature of man and sinful desire. And those who are in Christ are being transformed not to have that same nasty old nature, but to have a nature that knows whatever new and scoff, whatever comes, is not true, because what is true is God. By the way, just a quick note, just as there will be false teachers amongst us, we can assume that there will be scoffers amongst us. By the way, amongst us, right? Because we tend to think of that from the world's perspective. Of course, the world's going to be that way. But it seems that even in the assembly, there'll be those who rise up that scoff, that teach a different teaching, a new teaching. That's not what Jesus meant. He didn't really mean he was literally coming back. That's a figurative speech. No, my friends, it is a literal return. Of course, we see some leaks in what they say, because here's what they say. For they deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So the word that they're trying to proclaim, scoffers, he's not coming back. A word could be, he doesn't even exist, right? That was what the false teachers eventually do, right? They deny ultimately the master. But here, there's this, that's not really going to happen. I got to tell you, here goes Peter's logic, which I got to tell you still stands thousands of years later, right? Peter's logic, or not thousands, hold on. Yeah, thousands, all right. I'm all messed up now because we got rid of B.C. and A.D. Now it's B.C. and B.C.E., so I got confused. I'm like, wait, what does A.D. mean again? Oh, yeah, after our Lord. So, yeah, it's been thousands of years. Before Common Era and Common Era. Anyway, see? New. The Word of God is true. Scoffers come and try to give us something. Now, I know you're joking. You say, well, those are just terms that we made up for history. But what were we trying to say in our history? We were trying to say that there was a guy named Jesus, and after he came, it changed. And we don't do that so much anymore. It was a common era, and that's now. Anyhow, here's his argument, which I'm telling you still stands true. They're saying he's not going to return and judge. They forgot a story. They forgot of a time that God flooded the whole world. Now, I know you're going to tell me, well, like if everyone has a myth story, that's still going to be a myth. But isn't it crazy that almost every civilization that has lived on this planet has come up with a story of the whole thing being flooded? At some point you go, well, okay, that could be myth. Or you go, wow, every culture that has existed has been like, yeah, at one time this whole thing was covered in water. Of course, scientists come around and go, well, that's true. It was all covered in water. We have proof of that because we find we find sea animals like in the desert of Nevada, and they're like, yeah, that's true, it was covered, but that was during the ice age, like the whole world was frozen in ice, and then I just laugh, by the way, because these same people are trying to tell me about global warming. I'm like, but you've told me there's a pattern. You've told me the earth gets really, really, really cold, and then it gets really, really, really hot. This is what you told me the pattern is, and now you're gonna blame me for global. No, it's not my carbon footprint. I don't even know what that is, so maybe I do have one. Never mind, story for another day. But isn't that interesting, though, right? The world goes through cycles, they tell us. Ice age, then it melts, and then it evolves like creatures had lots of furriness. I guess I'm not ready for the great warm-up of the world. I guess I evolved for the wrong time period, everybody. Oh, that evolution, so tricky. If only I had evolved properly. Actually, I'm more evolved than most of y'all because we had this conversation this morning. Sue was like, I can't wait for fall weather. And Lori was like, you mean December? And I was like, I'm Caribbean and Floridian. It could be 100. I'm good. Like, that's just where I live. Anyway, he points to the significant event. He goes, listen, the scoffers are going to say that God's not going to judge. We have proof of a judgment of mankind. Again, the argument could be made, I don't believe in the scriptures, but it's hard to come to the fact that at one point this thing was underwater. And how you explain that comes up to, you could believe a myth, you could look at the myths and say something is common with those myths, and you can start to study the different religions of the world and how they interpret it, and you come to what Peter says, be reminded of this sure, certain word that we got from the prophets, and we got from the apostles, because Peter says what? These are the words of God himself. This is a claim that if I wasn't dealing with a Christian argument, I'd say, now we have to prove that this is not indeed a claim from God, and that's a different conversation. I'm coming from the standpoint that most of us believe in God. This is what he says is his word coming directly from him. He says, these guys who are scoffing amongst you and saying that God is not going to return are incorrect because they forgot about this big flood. And oh, by the way, for all my LGBTQ+ training, that rainbow is to be a sign of what? God has judged, and he's not going to do it like that. Because now Peter says, we got some teaching that we got from Jesus. We got some teaching we got from the apostles, and it's this. By the same word, right? So he says that God used his words to bring judgment on the earth. He used his words to repopulate the earth, is what he's saying. But by that same word, the heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction for the ungodly. Here's the bad news for scoffers. You scoff because you want to keep on doing what you want to do. History has proven that God will judge. God is storing up his judgment for scoffers. That's scary. Just because they want to do what they want to do. Well, the good news is the new creation, the new creature, wants to do what God wants to do, right? And we're battling that out through our sanctification. I get that. But you see a difference here. And so here, Peter is going, just as God had judged before, he is reserving judgment. I'm saying the scoffers, because that's who's destruction he's saying, but look what it says down here. Destruction of the ungodly. Peter begins by making them remember or be reminded that they have the pure, true word of God. Don't listen to the scoffers, because the scoffers are trying to give them something that's not true. Peter now is reminding them that ultimately God is a God that is a just God, and a just God does pronounce judgment on unjust people. And just as he did it in the past, Peter is reminding us that he will do it in the future. But here's the good news, right? But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Just as the scoffers are using their sinful nature to scoff at God's coming, they're also using something that God has that we don't have, and I think two things. One is perspective, and secondly is patience. And I think we can all agree in this room that patience is a key virtue that is fleeting before us ever so much every day, because our world has gotten so much faster than I ever could have imagined it would have been. I mean, I'm still like bummed that I don't have my flying car, because that would have been awesome. But I am mesmerized by the rapidness of communication, of life. And we expect things like this now too, right? I was I'm Okay, so this is me. At work, I never gave anyone my cell phone number out because y'all don't need me when I'm not here. And if you do need me, contact me through email, and I'll check that. And for years, that worked. And then I'd say about 2 years ago or so, everyone on the campus at my school in Edison had the administrator's email or cell phone number. Everybody. Everyone. I'm like, ooh, I don't know that I'm not going to be that kind of administrator. I sent my principal a text at my new school currently, and then he put me on a group text. Now every teacher at that school has my text, my phone. I'll go further. I'm being as honest as I can. I just went to district meetings in which the superintendent of the district gave us his cell phone number. I'm like, y'all are some crazy people, because what that means is now people think you have to answer them like this. We were slow to give Noah a cell phone. He still wouldn't have one if it was up to me, but it was a BOGO feature, and they're like, Connie gets a phone and Noah gets one free, so he has one. But listen, if Noah don't respond back quick, Noah's in trouble, right? That's how we are as a people. Like, we can communicate so quickly that even if I don't look at my phone, my watch is now buzzing and telling me. It is. And we have the device. If you don't have it, and, you know, if you get a new car, then it just flashes up on, it was funny. It says, don't text and drive, and yet there it goes right across the screen, and then the robot voice reads it to you, which I just love to do, have the robot voice read to me, because I just find it hysterical. I really wish that my father knew how to send texts, because that would just give me comedy for days, because that little robot voice would be like, I did have text to a voicemail once, and my dad always, I don't know why he does this. I know my dad's voice, but anytime my dad calls, he always says, hi, son, this is dad. This is how it was printed on my phone by a robot. Hey, Sean, this is a dad. I was like, Sean and who, what? Oh, it's my dad. Hey, Sean, this is a dad. I was like, wow, that's cool, robot. You can even change the voice. I'm moving on. Right? There's very little patience. The cashier was taking too long at McDonald's. Now they just have a touchscreen tablet thingy. You don't want to wait to get to McDonald's? They have an app, right? They've got a little line at the, I love Chick-fil-A. There's a little line, and Chick-fil-A got a line out the door, and the driveway's wrapped around like 3 blocks, and you put a little app in, walk up, suckers, I got the app, right? Patience is something that's fleeting. Patience, I believe, is one of the scoffers' greatest tools. Because again, they're like, hey man, it's been thousands of years. Your God's not coming back. But now we have a new perspective, because the new perspective is this. A day to our God is like 1,000, like time is timeless to a timeless being. I don't know if that made sense, but to borrow from Doctor Who, time travel is like timey-wimey, wobbly, whatever. When you're outside of time, when you are eternal, you've always existed, I can't imagine how short 1,000, you know what I mean? Like, again, I say to you, perspective is also a big deal, because if we are in this room right now and I didn't say anything for 2 minutes, you would feel like it would be an hour. You'd be like, oh, this is awkward. And you'd be staring at me and I'd be staring at you and be like, I just know, because as classroom teachers, you have to get them engaged in discussion. And you're like, hi, thought of a question. And I promise you, as a new teacher, you're like, 15 seconds in, you're sweating. You're like, oh my gosh, it's been 30 minutes they've not answered. And the observer would be sitting back there and they'd take their little notes. This is a true story, by the way. And she'd be like, you don't have enough think time for the children. I'm like, I asked a question. It was like 5 minutes. She was like, oh, sweetie, it was 30 seconds. So this is how we remedied the problem. She actually gave me a timer. So I'd ask the children a question and put the timer and I'd put it there. And you know how a watch pot never boils? A watch timer never goes off. To the timer's defense, I have ADHD and I forgot to hit start, but that's a story for another day. On one hand, that seems like a lot. And I'm going to give you some words, again, some words, some inspired words from a guy named Paul, who says, in the thick of it, right, it feels like the pressures, the trials are overwhelming. But he says, when you overcome, Revelation, when you overcome, when you're on the other side where many of our loved ones are, it'll been like this. And again, elsewhere in Scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, although I don't like it, I keep on trying to prove it incorrect, it keeps on proving me right. Life is like a vapor. We don't have patience. Scoffers want to continue to do what they want to do. They want to use our impatientness, or whatever the word for that would be, our lack of patience. Impatience, thank you. They use that. But look, we not only see that we have to have a different perspective because we have a divine being we're dealing with, and to a divine being, a day is like a thousand is like a day, and whatever. Gary's kind of trying to remind us that we don't always look at these figuratively, whatever, literally, but whatever. He's outside of time. He has a different perspective. But not only that, look at this. It shows us his character and his nature. He's purposely waiting. Now, if his character and nature was different, it would read like this. He's purposely waiting so he could store up more wrath upon them. That's not why he's waiting. Why is he waiting? He's waiting because the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing that we should perish, but that we should repent. He's patient because, as Jesus said, the kingdom starts really small, but it gets really big. Right? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny little seed that grows into the mightiest of trees. He's patient because he's waiting for more to enter into his kingdom. His delay reminds of his character. His character is that he desires for us to be in unity with him. And we know ultimately that can only occur through the blood of his son Jesus, but you see why there's this it's a gracious patience. It's why, in my opinion, it took 100 years to build an ark. Look, first of all, let's just be honest, right? God could have just been like, and there's an ark. Then he could have been like, hey, Noah, come on, buddy. And then the animals could have just, in fact, I don't even know how the animals knew how to get there. That's another conversation for another day. That could have happened like this. Why is it 100 years? By the way, 100 years seems like a long time to us. Must have felt like forever for Noah. You imagine Noah? 100 years, I'm building this boat. Man, you said rain's coming. Come on, 100 years to build a boat. It's still a long time, man. That's still a long time of waiting for destruction. But do you see why it's a long time to wait for destruction? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will burn up and dissolve, and the earth and the works that all are done it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolve, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. He's speaking of, and again, he's speaking of, because this is where we get a little tricky too, like, we look at Revelation, three comings, two comings, millennial reign, whatever, but this is what he's speaking of, the end, judgment day. A day will come that the Lord comes and changes what's his, and changes what's not right, and makes it right. That day, and on the day that that happens, will be judgment for those that the judgment's been stored up for, and for those who are not to receive the judgment, there's a transformation. The final transformation, if you will, right? Because he started the transformation work once you were redeemed. This happens a lot in Scripture, and I just want to bang my head when it happens. This morning we're looking in Revelation, and it says rain, and then it says will rain. And so this is one of those moments, too, where, like, Scripture is like, you are changed, and you will be changed, and you're being changed. That's how I felt about the conversation with rain, by the way. You are reigning and will reign, and that's the end of the story. I don't know how that all works, but you are currently reigning and will reign. So you are currently righteous, and you are becoming righteous, and will be righteous. I know that's a mouthful, but this is the picture we have here that Peter says. Just as we are assured that the day of destruction, it's called here, the last day, the day of judgment, just as he's going to get rid of what he needs to get rid of, he's going to destroy and make new what needs to be made new. Gary, you said something this morning, I wish I had, well, I don't write anything down, but I wish my brain would have kept it. But it was something along the lines of, oh, the price for sin has been purchased, or something like that, you said. The power of sin has been broken, right? But the removal of sin, I think, was kind of, those aren't the words, that was the gist of what you were trying to say. The presence, that's right. The presence of sin is still amongst us. The judgment day will come, and there will be no presence of sin anymore. For sin will be judged, and what needs to be transformed will be transformed. The new heavens and the new earth is getting rid of anything that's not in line with God's will and purpose and plan. And the new one will fully be. So Gary was talking about, like, the glass, the crystal sea won't be needed in the new heaven because it was representative of something. But I'm just, you understand the point that Peter's trying to say. Scoffers are trying to deny it for their sin nature. Scoffers are trying to use your impatience. But we know the character and nature of our God. And the character and nature of our God, that he's willfully being slow that many would come into the kingdom, but a day will come when we're not ready. That's what the thief thing's about. Because if you were ready for a thief, then you saw Home Alone and you rigged the house. That's what that movie was about. It's like, oh, the water bandits are coming. And I'm going to just put up traps because it's logical that an 8-year-old could booby trap a house like that. But had Kevin not known, they'd have come in like thieves and they'd have run off with, I can't remember their last name, McAllister's belongings. Why does my brain remember the wrong things? The good news is the day of the Lord, God shows his justice and that he's right. But the ultimate good news is verse 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Peter is telling us all this to remind us to stay firm to the true teaching of God. Don't look for the novel. Don't look for the fancy. Don't look for that that allows you to remain in your old nature or influenced by your old nature. Long for and remember the words of the Almighty, because although he is delaying his judgment and he's delaying our future glory, if you will, it is certain to occur. And don't get distracted by false teachers and by scoffers. Hold firm to the true word of the Almighty. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity to speak your words. Father, I thank you that you've given us your words. God, I thank you for your faithfulness in being righteous and just. Thank you, Father, just as you've shown us in the past that you will pour your judgment on sin. We know that will happen. But just as you promised and predicted in the past that one would come that would pay the price for your wrath, that would pay the price for sin, that one came. And then he commanded us. And the apostles told us of his commandments. And the apostles then wrote letters to remind us of the certainty of your word and the certainty of the word and commandments of your son Jesus. And Father, now we wait. We wait knowing that to you a day is 1,000 days. A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And knowing that you have a purpose and a plan for however long these days may be. And your purpose and plan is that many would repent. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for waiting for a sinner like me. And thank Thank you, Father, that you're waiting for many more brothers and sisters to join your kingdom. May we endure, may we overcome, and may we rely on your true, faithful, sure word. In Jesus' name, amen.